Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
Call you girlfriend. Time you had the talk, give you reasons, say it's not her fault, but you just met somebody new, tell her not to get upset, second guessing everything you said and done. When she gets upset, tell her how you never meant to hurt no one. You just tell her that the only way her heart will mend is when she learns to love again. Won't make sense right now, but you're still her friend. And then you let her down. Call your girlfriend. It's time you had the talk. Give you reasons. Say it's not her fault. But you just met somebody new. Don't you tell her I give you.
Time when I was alone, nowhere to go and no place to call home. My only friend was the man in the moon, and even sometimes he would go away too. Then one night as I closed my eyes, I saw a shadow flying high. He came to me with the sweetest smile, told me he wanted to talk for a while. He said, Peter Pan, that's what they call me. I promise that you'll never be lonely. And ever since that day, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored, we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, away from all of reality. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. He sprinkled me in pixie dust and told me to believe, believe in him and believe in me. Together we will fly away in a cloud of green to your beautiful destiny. As we soared above the town that never loved me, I realized I finally had a family. Soon enough we reached Neverland, peacefully my feet hit the sand. And ever since that day, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored, we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, away from all of reality. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, Wendy, darling, even Captain Hook, you are my perfect storybook. Neverland, I love you so, you are now my home sweet home forever, a lost boy at last. Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, Wendy, darling, even Captain Hook, you are my perfect storybook. Neverland, I love you so, you are now my home sweet home forever, a lost boy at last. And for always I will sing, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored, we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free.
Okay, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. And my guest today is Scott Coombe. And hi, Scott. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Okay. So, Scott, I guess you've written a book.
Yes. It's called Hungry Samurai Dinosaurs from Outer Space.
Oh, okay. There's a lot going on there. So what's the book about?
Well, it's about dinosaurs. It's like a kid's adventure.
Okay, so it's a children's book.
It's a children's book, yes. It's from ages, say, 2 to 6 or 7.
Okay.
And early readers. And it's about these dinosaurs that land in the backyard as these boys are out there playing tag.
Okay.
And
so then the adventure really kicks off, huh?
They're like, wow, it's exciting. And it's in the first book here, it's all about the introduction and interacting together. So you got five dinosaurs that come out. You got T-Rex and a Stegosaurus.
Okay,
and,
all right.
And
the cast of characters.
Yes. And the three boys are like, wow, exciting. And then they start trying to teach them all of the, like, American boy lifestyle.
And so that's what dinosaurs would want.
Right. And so there's the great scenes where one of the boys is trying to teach, you know, a dinosaur how to play video games.
Oh, there you go.
And then, you know, other times where they're playing tag and natural things. One scene is where a kid's trying to teach him Twister.
Okay.
And the dinosaurs are trying to, like, figure out how do we cross our legs and stay afloat. And
right, right.
So it's kind of fun.
Okay. And so how did you come up with this concept?
You know, it was kind of, I know I've been called to be a writer.
Okay.
And it was one of those things where I was at late at night and I said, okay, I need a title, at least a title before it. And so I woke up in the morning and had a title
and the rest started
the process. Yeah.
Okay. And so, as an author, what made you decide you want to be a children's writer? What put you in that arena?
Well, that would have been my own two children.
Okay.
And I was a stay-home dad for a little while. And
so were you the storytelling dad?
I was. And every day we'd walk to the library, we'd get a couple of books and a couple of videos and aww, walk back. And then, you know, we had our little fun times.
Got him onto early readership, huh?
Yes. And so, yeah, it was my daughter's. You know, she was very frustrated to know that you actually had to read some words on there instead of just turn the pages.
Right. Look at the lovely illustrations.
Yes. But, you know, we had a great time. And I noticed that in some of the books that I was reading, you know, they had the catchy end and everything, but it wasn't like the values that I wanted to instill in my kids.
Really?
I know they're kids. They don't know too much, but I just still wanted some seeds to be planted.
Okay.
You know, a little morality, a little fun time, all that kind of stuff.
All right. So some life lessons hidden in there.
Exactly.
Okay. And so from going to the library with your kids, then you had this yearning for a little something more.
Right. So I was a blogger at the time.
Okay.
And so my writing was already
comfortable
done.
Writing.
I was comfortable writing. Yes, absolutely. And so I'd look over at my kids and I'd be like, you know, I just spent my time there reading. And of course we'd have little adventure tales, you know, as we go about and to the park or something
right,
like that.
Right,
make,
right, right.
Things
you're,
up.
You're telling the story.
Never, but then it was the seed planted in me saying, you know, actually I could be writing some kid stuff that would actually impact them.
Okay. And so you, from that moment, then you decided on a title and then you decide to write. So when you're looking at a children's book, there's not that many words, right?
It's surprisingly few. Yes.
Yes.
So about 2.5 pages.
And so how long does that take to do?
To do the writing?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great question. It depends on how many times you reread it. for me...
Yeah, the last time, about 30 minutes.
Right. Well, I had it spinning around in my head for about 3 years.
Okay.
Or so.
Okay, so this concept.
Right, the concept, some of the scenes that I had.
Okay.
And then a friend was like, okay, you have no words, or you have like a little splotch of words. Why don't you write it out? And it took me about an hour, and boom, I wrote everything out.
Okay.
But
when you're doing this process, do you do the pictures and the scenes first, like a storyboard, like you would do for a movie or something, or do you just kind of go?
Well, that's an excellent question. I don't know how it's supposed to be done, of course.
Okay.
So I just kind of envisioned a number of scenes for the book, and as I started writing, it just kind of fell into place.
Oh,
and so
well, that's nice.
So some of them were just, you know, like one sentence, and that's like the whole scene.
Right.
Like the boy teaching, you know, video games, and he's Yeah. It's just a comment.
Right.
And so you're just turning pages and looking at the ways they're interacting.
Okay. And so you've gotten the book written, and then I guess the next part is publishing, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's a monster out there.
All right. So, you know what? We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to answer that question of what it's like to get a children's book published in this day and age. You're listening to KX93.5. This is the Importance of Being show, and we'll be right back.
Second back. at me now. So take a look 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 at me now.
Okay, we're back. This is KX93.5, and you're listening to the Importance of Being show. Today, my guest is Scott Coombe, and he has written a book, Hungry Samurai Dinosaurs from Outer Space. which is not attended. I think it's like a romance.
No, it's a kid's adventure story. Though it does kind of hit every boy's hot button, doesn't it? So,
does it have a picture of Fabio on the cover?
No Fabio.
Okay. Yep. All right. So when we left off, we had talked a little bit about the book itself and your kind of how the project was conceived. And I think we left off at the publishing adventure.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about that process.
Well, it started as kind of, naturally, I had been about 3 years in process. I got it all written out.
So basically 3 years for an hour's worth of writing.
Yes. So it processed. You know, if you want something good, it's got to sit there and stir and boil.
And so just real quick, a side note, when you, that hour, does it start off as 2.5 pages, or did you condense it down? Because a lot of times, you know, when you're writing a full book,
right,
you would write it and then you'd get an editor and they would, you know, cut pieces out.
Well, typically nowadays you have to do your own editing, unless you want to pay someone to do that for you.
Right, right.
That's rewriting and revisions. But this one, most of my editing already goes on in my head.
Okay. So you're pretty, you've modeled all this and
right,
you've kind of worked your narrative. And so it just either it fits into the narrative or it doesn't.
So just like with the Hungry Samurai Dinosaurs, like right. I was wrestling with, because initially it
was
ninjas.
You were wrestling with them?
I was, yeah.
Oh,
wrestling,
my gosh.
So initially they were ninjas because ninjas are popular.
Right.
And then I was thinking of the turtles and stuff. And I'm like, right. No, okay, X
hard.
That.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, you know, the samurai, it brings in like the integrity, the honor, the duty.
Yeah, those life lessons.
And so, yeah. And so.
So that they just don't run around cutting off people's heads,
right,
or anything.
Nope, none of that. on their planet, they do. But, and so after a few of the books in the series, I'm going to do one that's on the planet dinosaur.
Okay. So, but let's not peek ahead.
Okay. So. It is the mixing of the samurai dinosaurs teaching the honor and integrity and what it means to walk in morality kind of thing.
Okay.
With some kids that are excited, boisterous, and wanting playtime, fun time,
right,
which also the samurai...
Unbridled.
Yeah, the samurai don't necessarily, exude. They're
right,
kind of more serious.
Yes,
and
yes.
And so the dinosaurs get to learn, hey, this is fun time. And there's a great scene where the boys are actually getting there, and they're getting their fingers under the toes of Brachiosaurus, and they get him on his back and tickle fight, and it's great. It's one of the scenes that first caught me, you know, as I was doing the book, and
okay,
I was like,
okay,
oh, I like that.
All right, and before we get back to the publishing adventure, what was your kids' reaction to this book? First off, how old are they now?
Right now they're 10 and 13.
So
they're not my target market.
They're
anymore.
Not in the target range
right,
anymore.
Right.
But when you started,
they very much enjoyed it.
Okay.
They were getting a little old, and they were like, but they were like, you know, hey, that's actually kind of good, Dad.
This is a strange
and
belief,
so,
Dad.
Yeah. So I took one of the art renderings and put it on a T-shirt.
Okay.
And so gave each of them a T-shirt. Oh. So marketing for for all our kids at the school. And, actually, my son still wears it now and then. And I'm like,
there you
oh,
go.
Hey, he's wearing my shirt. I love it. And so it's, yeah, it's like he's honoring me. I love it.
Okay.
But, where was I?
We were meandering on our way to the publishing adventure.
Okay. So,
and I promised the people that we were going to talk about that.
Yes,
so.
There's probably a lot of writers out there that are looking to, hey, how do I get published?
Yeah, and they can't do anything until they find out.
Right. So with my process, it took me 3 years, and I'm finally like, okay, we're coming on another Christmas season, and I don't have it actually finalized.
Right.
So I had the illustration, and so I was like, okay, let's just do it. And it was actually a friend of mine, Krista, and she was like, well, why don't you just get it done? And I'm like, all right, let's get
it's
done.
Like talking to your mom.
And so,
this out. Just do it, honey.
Right. It's yeah, amazing.
Freaking start.
Yeah. So I sent it to, I just did the quick and easy one is I went to Amazon. They've got their own little publishing niche called CreateSpace.
Okay.
And so put it up in there.
And it's kind of templated out for you. So you dump your title here, dump this there.
Right. And each page this. And it's all got to be a certain, you probably might need if it's a kid's book or illustrated, might need a designer to put it in the right formats if you don't know that thing.
Okay.
And so you submit it, and then, you know, like 3-4 days later, it's on Amazon.com, and you're a published writer.
And people can order it.
Yes. and it's very exciting. I went through there, and I didn't realize all the tension between bookstores and Amazon. Because Amazon, book sales are slowly going down and down. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more people publishing books.
Right.
And so...
Right.
They're struggling for that.
Bookstores haven't grown in shelf size.
Yes.
In fact, and so, probably lost shelves.
Right. And so they took a look at my stuff, and they said, oh, well, you're with Amazon. We're not going to take
it. Get out.
You. Yeah. So you're going to the enemy. Yeah. And so I also went to, a different publisher who's more of a printer and put it together. And, they made a nice, so all the hardbound books are with the non-Amazon.
Okay.
And then the paperback, you can get it on Amazon.com.
Oh, that fits.
And
that seems like a good fit.
And so, and parents get to choose if they want to save a couple bucks. There's a little bit more on the hardbound book, but... for the most part, it's the same book.
Okay, and so now you're going out and marketing the book?
Yes.
And so you're doing a roadshow?
And the roadshow has always been a little tough, because that's one stage where I'm like, okay, going out and contacting people, I've needed help. And call all the managers of Barnes & Noble stores and... And say, hey, we got the book. Let's go and put it in there. And you guys have to order some and fill your shelves.
What? You haven't ordered them yet?
Oh, right. Yeah. And
you're going to miss the deadline.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm thankful to have some help on that.
Okay.
And just going out and, just kind of sharing my heart.
Well, yeah, I would think most people who are authors are kind of singular or solitary folks, and they enjoy their time alone, rubbing the keys or what have you. So now, you're not an author sitting in your easy chair with your tweed jacket and your pipe.
Right.
You're out touching people and talking to them.
Absolutely.
Hard? Was that hard for you as personality wise?
I'm definitely the extra introvert,
and
it's like, And so, yes, it was coming out of my comfort zone. It was definitely a little nervous, but having raised my two kids, I'd walk into a Barnes & Noble or so, and there's nothing but kids looking at me.
Okay.
And so I felt kind of at home. I could play with them. I brought some dinosaur props.
Child at heart, yes.
Yes. And so we're like,
some
of them are too young and they're eating on the dinosaurs. Yep. and it's like, oh, you guys are great. they don't know any better. And so, I guess I've had people that they're actually just start eating the book as they're reading through it.
Well, there you go.
I'm like, hey, it's edible too.
A delicious book is a no small achievement.
Absolutely. They're hungry, right?
Right. Yes. All right. We're going to take a quick break. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. Today, my guest is Scott Coombe, and he is a children's author. He has written a book called Hungry Samurai Dinosaurs from Outer Space. So there's that. This is KX93.5.
And I don't think that's a selfish want. I really don't. I'm not saying that I have this capacity, because it's hard to develop that capacity on your own when you're being stopped at every turn.
time, nowhere to go. Melt me down. I'm like wax to your jokes. Lost and found. Knocking heads, laying low. And there's no point reliving crimes to lose this. Still wanna waste all my time. I wanna waste all my time. Still wanna waste all my time. I wanna waste all my time with you.
Today.
Hey, this is KX93.5, and you are listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. Today, my guest is Scott Coombe. He has written a book, a children's book, called Hungry Samurai Dinosaurs from Outer Space. So there's that. When we left off, we talked a little bit about the publishing experience and then taking the idea out on the road. So now that the book is done and you're kind of doing the promotion, is that it for you?
Oh, no. This is going to be a series, so we're going to have probably 20 of these.
So you're not going to clock out?
No. I just have that calling for writing.
Okay.
So book two is going to be coming out probably in the middle of August.
So then it's already finished.
It's written. It's getting finalized on the illustrations, and then we're gonna do a little bit of the computer.
The laying it out.
And everything. Yes, and then it'll be out in bookstores.
Okay, and so what's that one about?
So this one's gonna be called Hungry Samurai Dinosaurs on Overcoming. And so, you know, like I was talking about, it's kind of life lessons that the kids are learning.
Oh, okay.
So one of the boys is going to learn how to overcome his fear.
Okay.
One is going to overcome, you know, relationship issues.
Okay. All right.
And then the final one, I'll if you can't allow me, was...
I think this is a spoiler alert, so if you're going to buy the book, then so close your ears.
Yes, everyone. If your three-year-old is still listening.
If you're driving, close your eyes.
It's the stegosaur, Scales, and he's had this dream that he wants to be flying.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he's like in and out of the houses and everything, but like he's just the wrong dinosaur doing that.
Made up for that,
yes.
Right.
And so...
But that, you shouldn't let that limit you.
Right. So one of the boys is like, hey, I have the solution to your dream. And he runs off and he gets this giant oversized wagon,
okay,
like a radio flyer.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, the stegosaur puts his 4 feet in the wagon.
There, yeah.
And of course, the boy's like trying to push it and pull it and can't do anything.
It's not.
And so he's like, hey, do you guys want to help Scales to fulfill his dreams?
Yeah.
And then, you know, put it in, reframed it. Everyone's all excited and everyone's pushing and they all are in concert to accomplish his dream. And then, of course, everyone else wants their turn. But so that's kind of how the second book kind of ends. And it's just a wonderful way to do things.
All right. So there's a second one coming. And is this so is it a two-part series or do you envision...
It's going to be a long, ongoing one.
Many adventures to come.
So, and I even have plans for this epic drama on Planet Dinosaur.
Oh.
But that'll be...
We bring it
That'll
home,
be a little bit later,
Bring it back to the source.
Right. Which is why the dinosaurs had to come to the planet, to Earth in the first place.
Now, is there a movie deal in the works?
There is not right now. if Spielberg or anyone wants to talk to me, please do.
Who would you want to play you in the movie? Or actually, I guess, which dinosaur is you?
Yes. Now in the book that I have out, the first one, the ending comes where we define love.
Okay.
Because it's an impacting thing. And so there's one kid who's just kind of wild and impassioned and he's a people person. And so he comes up with a little definition of what love is. And then you got the analytical boy, and he comes up with like more of a more defined biblical or not biblical dictionary type an answer, and so. But then the question would be, well, how would you train your kids to define love as well?
Oh, so then there's
homework
themes weave into this story here,
right?
And so I guess that's the trick of children's writing is to. Get all the weavings to line up.
Yes. So hopefully I did it good and well, actually. And and so the parents get to have
some. Yeah.
Yep, the internet editor is always jumping up. So, but, you know, there's, We just have a few more minutes here, don't we?
You don't have to. That's my job.
Okay. Well, you know, I've got another.
Your job is to talk and make sound come out.
You're amazing. Thank you, Ernest.
My job is to keep it between the lines, so to speak.
Okay. Well, I've got another book that's been circling in my head probably for about 6 years now.
Okay.
It's called The Little Blue Book of Hope, and it's more of an adult book. And actually, it was last night.
Does that have Fabio on the cover?
It probably should, but no. It's a more of a substantial love in there,
like a bodice ripper kind of substantial.
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay, all but, right. I'll let you tell the story.
Right. So, I was standing last night, and it was like 3 a.m, and I was picturing a spot on a freeway. And here in California, we have probably 100,000 people, 100,000 cars drive over that one spot on the freeway. Mm-hmm. And in that, each and every car is at over 100,000 people. They go through every little spot, and everyone has their own little drama. Everyone has their own little fears, their anxieties, and relationship up and downs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like, lots of life happens. And we're not all that unique.
While you're on your way to your dreams,
right,
your life is happening. Yes.
Right. And so some people are working on their dreams, and some people, their dreams have been squashed or set it aside.
There it is.
And so the Little Blue Book
splattered
is...
egg.
Yeah. The Little Blue Book of Hope is more speaking to that audience.
Okay, so saying, it's not a novel.
It's not a novel. It's a nonfiction. It's I kind of want to put it like it's the grandfather that puts you on his lap and says, here's all the things, the lessons that you should have learned when you were a child.
Right.
And so it's kind of like that loving, tender words saying, here's some of the life lessons. Here's some of the things that you need to do and shape up. But also, you know, that we can be empowered. And we can take more control of our life than we actually are.
All right.
And so we don't need to be hanging on to our anxieties and our fears. There's a better way of thinking through it, feeling through it, and actually experiencing life as it was meant to be.
Wow. And so where did you get the secret to life? Was it at the planet where the hungry samurai dinosaurs are from?
Well, that would have been very advantageous.
you just go.
It
there,
was. It was actually
secret.
through a lot of series of heartaches, through tragedies in my life.
Okay. Okay.
And so from the healing that you get, as well as you know, some other common learning that goes out in some of the books. And so I'm trying to put it all together in a way that makes sense.
Okay. Well, wow. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We are now out of time.
Okay.
But
thank you very much.
You're welcome. And good luck with the children's books and with the Book of Hope.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. So you've been listening to The Importance of Being show. I am your host, Ernest Hackman. I am just about to sign off. Coming up next is Amanda Pointer with The Morning Connection, and I'm sure she's got a great show in store for you. I'll be back next week, and have a great weekend, everyone. This is KX93.5.
You were right, I'll move on, but my lungs feel so small. I couldn't breathe if I try. I lay my head on the floor, my beating heart wanting more, but I'll keep it in and keep you out. I'm drowning, I'm drowning. For the longest time, I knew there was nothing left. It isn't you. It isn't. I'm drowning, I'm drowning.